Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
You only got one shot to make it, one shot at greatness.
Obviously, I understand how much the game has changed, how much I've had a part in that.
Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
I'm still blown away. There's never been anybody like him.
This year, when it started, it was like, this is the milestone that's ahead. I remember watching the game when Ray passed Reggie, and 11 years later, it's me in that conversation.
62!
Launches it up.
Oh!
A shooting zone like very few have ever been.
There it is! The all-time three-point king in the NBA!
I never want to call myself the greatest shooter until I got this record, so I'm comfortable saying that now.
Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews, but this ain't about me, because what was once inevitable is now a reality. Steph Curry is the NBA's all-time three-point king after breaking Ray Allen's record last night in the Garden, and Steph has now made 2,977 career three-pointers. And do you know how many times Steph has made 200 threes in a season? 8 times, which, it's an NBA record. And that includes 402 threes in the 2015-16 season. That was, by the way, another record. And he's on pace to pass 400 once again this season. And Curry has basically every single game record. Look, he has the most three-pointers, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. He is the most of all of those. And the only record left is Klay's single game record of 14. So here's Steph in the locker room after Tuesday night's game.
All right, much to say besides I appreciate everybody that's had a part in me being who I am on the court, off the court. Like, this is a career milestone because of everybody that I got to suit up with, everybody that set screens for me, everybody that passed me the ball, everybody that believed in our offense and believed in winning in the process. So this is truly special, man. We got a lot more threes, a lot more wins, a lot more stuff to go, but I appreciate y'all making this special because this has been a long week trying to get over this over this milestone. Having Reggie and Ray here was special, but nothing more special than everybody in this locker room. So let's keep this energy going for sure.
So what better way to start the show than talking about Steph's record-breaking performance with these fine gentlemen and Richard Jefferson? We also have Kendrick.
Wow. We're
starting early today. Mm-hmm. I have had my coffee, and I am ready to go and play fill in the blank. So, Perk, I'm going to start with you. Stephen Curry's record-breaking three was?
Everything. When you look at just how everybody was rooting for him. Like I said before, he's the golden child. Like, people love Steph. He's the people's champ. And just watching everyone's reaction, even in the Garden, throughout social media, I'm like, look, this dude might be the most loved athlete ever as far as a basketball player. Just, I mean, I had to give it up to him. And I've been hating on Steph for a while.
Sure. No, I think it's special. I think there's all these like little things that they point out, like the Knicks could have drafted him. Stuff like that that I think is funny. Sorry, Knicks. But no, I think with Steph, when you look at Steph, like, he comes from the game. Like, he is, it's like Ken Griffey Jr. His dad played. Everyone knew him. As soon as he came in, he was a golden child in college. And then he has exceeded everyone's expectations to a level that I don't even think he thought he could do. So I think this is special, and it's a beautiful thing to watch him and be emotional about it because it shows how much it means to him.
Well, we talked about the tweets, all of them raining in. We see some of them popping up on the screen now, but fill in the blank for me, Zach. It was what?
I'll go celebratory. Mm. And for everything Perk just said, he's universally beloved. And a lot of us are around the same age, and we've been in this league, covering this league, whatever, during his rise, and we've seen and felt how he's changed the game. And he and LeBron are the two defining figures of the NBA of the last 20 years. And I was in the gym at the hotel on the treadmill when I was watching the first quarter of the game. When he made it, I like put my hand up and let out, probably everyone in the gym was like, what are you celebrating? It just feels like we've all kind of witnessed it and not been a part of it, but he's been a part of our lives, and it's cool to see it happen.
Well, and it's cool to see him then pay it back to some of the teammates that were around him for that time.
That was very sweet of him to say that about me.
You got a Rolex?
That was, yeah, that was very sweet. He said the people, everyone that said assist.
Everyone that
you're a top 100 figure in his top 150,
if I could
maybe.
Yeah, top 150 teammates. Yeah, yeah, I don't know if he's had 220, but yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, 220 people in his life.
Oh, like, yeah, I think yeah. Like the first time he ever made the postseason.
But yeah, well, there you go. That was sweet. Special moment for you. But I think if I were to fill in the blank, it was goosebump worthy, right? Because there was so much that happened in the NBA yesterday, and not all of it was good, by the way. We saw COVID cases popping up all over the place. But to be able to celebrate that in that moment, I was on my couch and I was like, yes, this is something that we need. This is levity that we need. But we've also spent so much time talking about how great Steph is, and the list goes on and on and on. But when we were prepping for the show, Zach, you mentioned the moment that you realized just how great Steph was. When was that?
Well, we talked yesterday about the 54-point game in the Garden. That was the game. But for me, that playoffs, that following playoffs, second round against the Spurs. Here's a championship hopeful. They end up making the finals and really almost should have won the finals, not for the Ray Allen shot. A team that builds itself on defense, anchored by one of the five greatest defense players ever in Tim Duncan. And they had no idea what to do with Steph Curry. Steph got hurt in that series. Andrew Bogut got hurt in that series. If not, the Warriors might have won that series. And that was the series. No one talks about that because they didn't win the championship. They didn't win the next year either. That was the series where I think the entire NBA was like, whoa, this guy is not a carnival act. This guy's not a regular season ticket seller. Mm. This guy is a problem against the best teams on the biggest stages.
And a true draw. But as for the present, Steph got his record 2,974th three in the first quarter. So here's what the Warriors had to say about that play that ended up getting him the record.
Wiggins never passes out of that play. Never.
We run that play a lot, and that's the first time I think he's ever made that pass.
On that play, it's a bucket first, but, you know, I seen Steph with a little bit of space, you know, and a chance to make history, you know, so I gave it up, and, you know, he made the shot.
It's a pretty special moment. Like, I shot it, and I backtracked. I saw my pops over on the side, saw my teammates going crazy, felt the whole buzz of the whole arena, so it was special.
So let's go inside Steph's record-breaking three-pointer. Three-pointer number 2,974 came 28 feet from the hoop.
I called
it. It was assisted by Andrew Wiggins off a catch and shoot. Just vintage Steph there, nothing but net. And we need a little bit more on that shot. So let's get it over to Chinne Agumake.
Big Perk, you did not call that.
I called 28 feet, Chinne.
Good try. What do I remember about Steph Curry's shot 2,974, as you mentioned? Blowing a kiss, a pink Pete Davidson hoodie, and Spike Lee, of course. He can take my IG photos anytime. Hit him with the mangoes. It was an iconic moment in a legendary arena, so let's break the shot down. Give me my tape, producer Nick Brown today, baby. Check this out right here. Steph Curry, he gets his shots off of movement and also deceptive screening. So as he goes down, sets a screen. You know what the action is typically, screen the screener. This time it's roll and rise. It makes his defender, there's the roll down the paint. This is Steph rising, makes his defender late. Guess what? When you're late, Steph Curry, he's too great, baby. Way too great. Steph Curry, his movement, his deceptive screening is exactly what he provides all the answers to the assignments when it comes to three-point shooting. Right, Malika?
Absolutely. And Chinne, let's get this as a matter of record, because way back on December 1st, we played a game of baby shower
bingo.
Yeah. We tried to predict when Steph would make the shot to break the record. So let's take a little bit of a look back. And I want to know kind of when he's going to break the all-time three-point record, all of those sorts of things. Chinne, drum roll, please.
I think he does it right before, if not during, the Knicks game on December 14th. But that's my bet. You know, December 14th.
I don't remember what the hell I said. I'm going to be really honest. No, I think he's going to break it in Boston. I think it's going to be a poetic space because obviously Ray Allen played there.
All right, Big Perk.
I see him doing it in the Garden. The fans are going to try to be hostile in New York.
All right, so we got some crossover here.
Yeah, in New York. I see it happening in the second quarter. A 28-footer, no assist, just pull up.
All right. Oh,
well,
that's right.
The winner is
your girl,
Chinne Agumake.
Oh, you were wrong. Get out of here. I'm rolling him out. Thank you. Listen to me when I predict. I know my ish.
I don't.
Well,
I don't
really, not today. I really only have one question in all this. Why is Richard always so
wrong? Why am I always so wrong? Because the games that we play, I don't like. I don't go to baby showers. I don't go to these games.
Did you go to your own children's?
You play bingo before, bro.
You play bingo, you know basketball.
I do, though, want to make one correction. I did say on yesterday's show that Richard Jefferson doesn't set any records, and that actually isn't true. He has the record for the most points assisted by Jason Kidd. He does have that
record.
I had to dig so deep to
there
find one for you.
There's a difference between a stat and a record.
Wait, Richard, I just want to get, let the record the reflect. Who was right?
Oh, it was Queen Shanae.
Oh, wait, hold on, Park. Excuse me. Sorry, let me walk. Who was right?
It was Shanae.
Okay, it was Shanae. But if you know NBA Today, you know we are nowhere near done talking about Steph Curry and roasting Richard Jefferson. So coming up, his best, Steph's, not Richard's, threes of all time, and Kevin Durant. He was back doing Durant things last night. So is KD the real MVP? We'll discuss that. Plus, let's fire up the trade machine. What are the best moves for the Lakers? Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, NBA Today. It rolls on after the break.
I should have put money on it and taken all y'all's money.
Y'all lied. I said the guard.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is brought to you by Trulicity.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So as COVID-19 case numbers rise around the United States, the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL, they've all been severely impacted by outbreaks within teams. And today, Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield and head coach Kevin Stefanski both tested positive for COVID-19. And on Tuesday, Odell Beckham Jr. tested positive, bringing the number of Rams players currently sidelined to 13. And in the NHL, Tuesday night's game between Carolina and the Minnesota Wild was postponed due to multiple Hurricanes players testing positive for coronavirus. And then in the NBA, games have been postponed. Multiple teams are battling outbreaks, and two former MVPs, James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo, are out in COVID protocols. So Harden was one of the seven Nets players who entered NBA's health and safety protocols in the 24 hours preceding Brooklyn's overtime win against the Raptors last night. Harden was joined by LaMarcus Aldridge, Bruce Brown, and Paul Millsap, amongst others. So without those players, the Nets starting five was Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Nick Claxton, David Duke Jr., and Patty Mills. So mostly Kevin Durant, Richard.
On fire too, kinda. He did a little bit of everything for this team. He hit him with a triple double. But when you talk about other players stepping up, you gotta give a lot of credit to the young players for the Brooklyn Nets. But you know, look, at the end of the day, the Toronto Raptors are well coached and they fought. This was a battle down to the very, very end. Patty Mills steps up, knocks it down.
Where would they be without Patty Mills?
Oh, man.
Huge for them.
He has stepped in like in that Jeff Green role where he has helped them in so many ways. And look, Van Fleet couldn't finish it. So we go to extra basketball, ladies and gentlemen.
And they would need Kevin Durant. They would need Patty Mills. But mostly this from Kevin Durant in overtime.
And Kevin Durant, he just gets to his spot. Toronto, and you know Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse has about 19 different defenses that they were trying to throw, trying to mix up. And here, just gets to his spot. There is no better defense. I'm sorry, Scotty Barnes. You did everything you could. Then Patty Mills misses the free throw, leaves it open. Scotty Barnes for the win. Ugh. No one cares.
No one cares. Here's Kevin Durant after the game.
Well, we're not talking about Scotty. He missed it.
Man, I can't even explain how I feel, you know, especially this December. You know, we down 7 players and we could have easily just punted this game. But we've seen an opportunity for us to grow and get better, especially the younger guys who haven't played a lot of meaningful games. I'm so proud to just be a part of this group and to play with these young dudes. And it was incredible.
So you heard from KD praising his team's effort despite having 8 players in the COVID protocols. And I want to specifically talk about Kevin Durant here. Surprise, surprise. But big triple-double last night. He had 51. He had 51 points over the Pistons on Sunday. He's leading the league in scoring. So, Perk, is Kevin Durant your MVP right now?
Oh, come on. Ain't this when we supposed to walk to the... You're not to repeat what I said yesterday. We just gave Shanae her flowers.
Didn't I say this yesterday about him stepping up?
I thought we were supposed to walk to him. I thought I talked to Greg about that, but he must have forgot. But anyway,
I think he decided.
Yesterday, when I happened to be on that screen from the Houston studio, I said it when you asked me. Look, Kevin Durant is going to elevate his game to MVP status, and that's what he did last night. It didn't matter if it was Zach, you standing in one corner, Malika, you in another corner, you at the wing, and I'm rolling to the basket. Look, he elevates his game. We already know that KD could score with the best of them and put up big points on any given night, but he had 11 dimes last night, making guys around him better, moving to that point guard position. I told you so.
Is he the MVP right now? Yes, but I think by a very, very slim margin. Mm-hmm. The reason why I don't think he's getting as much conversation is because the Brooklyn Nets are not playing great basketball. They are winning, but they are not playing great basketball. And I don't mean that, and I don't even – I did the game last night. What do you mean I'm not watching the game? I literally did the game, Perk. But hold on there. We'll get back to you in a second. My point is this. They play and they battle against Minnesota. This is not a team that they should be battling against. There's so many different teams that they are calling it winning ugly. Well, at some point in time, you can't win ugly against these, like, subpar teams because eventually you're going to be playing against great teams. And I think that's when you kind of lose that – MVP conversation. Steph came in there, put the work against the Brooklyn Nets because they are a good team. So I don't think he's the MVP.
That was a month
yes,
ago.
Yes. No. Tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, I guess, would be just, I guess I'd go with the standings now and vote for Steph, but they're both. I mean, how can you pick between the two of us? Sure. I will say this. It's beyond stupid that we frame this as a two-man race. Like, Nikola Jokic is averaging 26.5. Stop. 26.5 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 58% shooting, 66% on twos. Pick whatever advanced stat you want. Pick any advanced stat you want. Stop, stop. Any advanced stat you want.
Yeah, get fired up, Zach.
He leads the NBA in every single one. He's on pace for the highest play. Stop. He's on pace for the highest player efficiency rating ever. The Nuggets with Nikola Jokic on the floor, plus 14 per 100 possessions. With Nikola Jokic on the bench, minus 16. With Nikola Jokic on the floor, the Denver Nuggets are basically the best team ever. Off the floor, the worst team ever. And the only reason he's not in the MVP conversation is because the Nuggets, without everybody, are just 14-13. It's stupid. He belongs in the race, and so does Giannis.
That's how he got the MVP last year.
So what? He got the MVP last year. He can't get it again?
Zach, I was going to let you off the hook because you told me before the show
that mom said
I was being mean to you.
She did. She said the man with the beard is mean to me.
I got to be mean to you right now. This is the problem that I have with people that have votes in the MVP conversation because we always move in the goalposts, and I don't understand what's the criteria for MVP because I come on here and I sit and I talk about Chris Paul and I talk about his impact on winning. I talk about what he's doing for the Phoenix Suns and how they have one of the best records in the league. And then all of a sudden we come and talk about Jokic numbers.
Did you hear the numbers?
I heard the numbers, but they are sitting like in the 8th or 9th slot.
Because their team doesn't matter.
Winning matters. And that's what I was always thought. That's why y'all gave it to Steve Nash back in the day, right?
Y'all, I was not covering the NBA. Oh, I didn't give anything to Steve Nash.
All right, cool.
Well, look, the only thing that I will say, like, both of you are correct.
Thank you.
Stop talking.
Hold on, child.
Listen, this is what I want to say. The only thing about Jokic, and look, yes, his numbers are historic, his numbers are that, but if they don't impact winning, you can say this. His teams are injured. I understand this. No Michael Porter Jr., no Jamal Murray. I understand that. That puts so much weight on the guy. But we can't just do it percentages and this and that and all these other things.
You can pick any number you want.
Okay.
What numbers am I allowed to use? So I can only use wins? That's it? Wins is the only number I can use.
Average is triple-double last year.
So if Nikola Jokic, okay, they are not in the top 4.
for, you know, in the top of the playoff picture.
And by the way, I'm not saying he should win. Right now, I would probably vote for Steph. I'm saying this is a four-man conversation. Giannis belongs in it, too.
Giannis, Nikola Jokic, Steph, and Kevin Durant.
And everyone else, there's a huge drop-off.
It's not with Chris Paul. Y'all need to stop. Chris Paul deserved to be in
there. I have no problem with you want to put Chris Paul, but Chris Paul's fifth.
Chris Paul's fifth after those four.
So you made an argument for a person that you wouldn't vote for right now. I just want
to
go on record.
To be
you
fair,
literally
I'm
made an argument,
making an argument for him to be in the conversation.
People throw him in at the end like, oh, I guess you got to look at Jokic. Jokic should be a candidate to win.
Would he be one, two, or three? Right now, if you were to rank one, two, and three. Dude, say it.
Curry, Durant, Jokic, but very
close.
Thank
you. So we spent 5 minutes arguing about the third best.
But it's very
Durant,
close.
Best. Jokic.
It's a four-man
Somebody
race, is my point.
Somebody get Zach Lowe a towel, because clearly he is fired up. Coming up on NBA Today, we show you the top Steph Curry three-pointers of all time. Richard, we're going to find out your all-time favorite, maybe?
My all-time favorite? Anyone that I wasn't on the other side.
Fair enough. And LeBron and the Lakers, they take on the Luka-less Mavs tonight. Does Dallas have a Doncic dilemma? We will explain that. Plus, the trade market is heating up. Could Ben Simmons and Kyrie be on the move? Keep it locked on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Up top to Curry, quick release, and splash! There it is! No one has made more threes than Stephen Curry.
How are you two boys?
Yes, sir! Hell yeah! Hell yeah! What a work, boy! That's great! Greatness! Gave me chills!
What a moment from Dre and Steph. So welcome back to NBA Today. And what better way, right, to celebrate? You look so surprised. Gosh. What a better way to celebrate an iconic performance by looking back at more iconic performances. So let's take a look back at Steph Curry's not best necessarily, but most memorable three-pointer.
Take it easier.
Why? All right, number 10. We're starting with number 10. This is January 26, 2019 against the Celtics.
Look, I'm going to say this really quickly.
Can you do that?
We did not pick the 10.
I'm
mad because
of dancing before the ball.
No, but I'm saying we have clips of him shooting it, turning around, giving people high fives, and then running.
Yeah, but that's a little special.
Look at that.
That's special when you do it in the garden. You know how I feel about it.
Not that garden.
Yeah, you know how I feel.
That garden.
Well,
I've never lost.
Number 9. Warriors down 2 with 9 seconds to go.
Oh, poor Toby. Poor Toby.
Nice little in and out.
His name is Toby. Tobias.
Is that the best Orlando Magic highlight from the last 10 years?
This is the first time we've had an Orlando Magic highlight.
That's a slide.
Well, whatever. It's still funny.
Oh, my goodness. All right, number 8. April 2nd.
Where'd he go?
Send me your location.
Oh, wow.
That's the problem with Biggs having to switch out on him.
Number 7. Grizzlies, Warriors. You already know.
Nothing's worse when he's cooking you on an island like you naked. I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, you can say naked. He's showing nipples. You can't show nipples on TV. Then we get Baron Davis.
Steph Curry, Baron Davis.
He's showing nipples on TV, guys.
All right, well, let's not show anymore so we can stop this discussion. Then this was the night, remember, Del Curry was being honored by the Charlotte Hornets, and Steph's taking it in, and then he said, all right, that's about Dad, but now it's about the son.
Yeah, they called him Wardell all game long. That's what it was. That's why he got hot. Wardell Curry. Get him, Steph. Get him, Steph. High stepping. Okay.
Number 5, November 7th, 2016. This is Pelicans Warriors, remember?
Oh, poor guys. Poor guys. That record lasted how long before Clay was like, hold on a second. Hold my beer. Hold my beer. Hold on a second.
Right, because that was a shot. He's like, look, I'm the man. I set the record at 13 threes. And then Klay Thompson said, not so fast, my splash brother. All right, number four. This number versus four. The Clippers.
See, this is like a four-point shot, though.
It should be. How casual, by the way.
Right?
It's like a normal shot.
But no, it's not even that it's normal. It's like he does this 8 times a year.
Yeah.
But we want to gloss over and talk about the numbers and the twos and the threes.
Moving on to number three. Let's go, Malik.
Does he do it that many times a year?
Yeah, we got to cover these whole highlights. The best.
All right, number three.
Uh-oh.
The Clippers.
Freeze it.
Oh, no.
Freeze it.
J.J. Redick would like us to point out that he was not one of the four defenders.
With all due respect, they were hiding J.J. so that he didn't hurt the thing. Oh. They were like, J.J., listen, if we can't do it, you're not going to contribute.
Ridiculous. My goodness.
How bad are the sleeve jerseys?
They were bad.
They were not good.
All right.
What
number
a champion
two.
Been them, but it's fine.
Could have been number one.
Honestly, that was bad defense.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
That was bad defense.
That should have been number one.
Well, it could have been number one, but we had to go with history on number one, right? I mean, I feel like this was amazing. The celebrations, they carried on. It was so much fun to watch. The moment, the time, the score.
Alvin Gentry's face is the best.
Yeah,
he's shaking his head.
Yes.
But that's number one, we had to put it in the Garden.
Oh, my God, Burke. Alec, it's okay, dog.
That's a good highlight to be a part of. You're part of history.
Really?
Is that like
the
Blake Griffin dunk? When he dunked on you, was that fun to be on part of the highlight?
He didn't do anything. Was that fun to be on? Was that fun? Was that fun being on that end of it? Was it fun? Was it fun?
Steph will get to 3,000 threes in the next week or two, and if he maintains his pace of 5.4 three-pointers per game, he has a shot at getting to, get this, 5,000 for his career. So with minimal missed games, he'd be on pace to get there at the age of 38. So that's somewhere during the 2026-27 season. So can he get to 5,000, Burke?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, 100%. There's no doubt in my mind.
That's wild that we're just saying, 100% for 5,000.
Honestly,
5,
I haven't done the math. You could have said, 11,000.
That's totally fine. Well, with all of that, there was some between COVID and Steph and all the – there was actually something else that happened in the NBA last night. So as of last night at midnight, over 100 players who signed in the offseason, they're now eligible to be traded.
Let's get it going.
Unofficial opening of the NBA trade season. Can you believe it? So with that, we need to bring in Bobby Marks, our front office insider and cap salary expert, salary cap expert. Either way, Bobby, what exactly has changed as of today?
Yeah, most free agents, Malika, that signed contracts in the offseason are now eligible to be traded. So we are looking at 85% of all players that are trade eligible. Certainly, there's a handful of players like the Cavaliers' Jared Allen, the Lakers' Talon Horton-Tucker that are still ineligible. They have a January 15th trade restriction there. But I think I don't want to pour cold water on December 15th just because the last time we saw a trade was December of 2010. Terrence Williams in New Jersey was traded to Houston for 2 future second round picks. So it does open up more dialogue. I wouldn't expect the floodgates. I think a lot of it's what's going to happen, Malika, is next week when all 30 teams are in Las Vegas for the G League Classic, where certainly more dialogue will be going on.
Interesting. So two players we haven't seen on the court this season are Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, and they have been discussed in all kinds of trade scenarios. So does the market for either one of them heat up right now?
Well, I think the market for Simmons opens up when you're looking at, three-team deals, four-team deals, where Philadelphia can kind of get more players involved. Certainly if teams have buyer's remorse from this offseason, it just kind of opens up the playing field more. I think the market for Simmons is always going to be as far as if Philadelphia is looking for more than just that top 25 player and if their demands change a little bit. And as regards to Kyrie, it's going to be interesting here is that there's still that sense that Irving will be back some point of the season. Will Brooklyn roll the dice past February 10th and have him on the roster when we get towards the playoffs? Even if the belief that he will not be, certainly not vaccinated. And Well, there'll be a moment of truth for both teams when we get closer to February 10th. It's certainly with Simmons, when you look at it, are the Sixers content on not doing a Simmons deal to their liking and kind of just waiting until the offseason?
So we can't talk about trade scenarios, Bobby, and not mention the Lakers. So what moves, if any, are on the table for L.A.?
Yeah, I call them what you see is what you get right now. And I think when you look at this Laker team, you have $120 million in salary with LeBron, AD, Russell Westbrook. It's hard for me to see a taker out there for Westbrook. I don't see them doing what Washington did and taking that contract and splitting it up until three players. I think the one name certainly that has the most value on this team is Talen Horton Tucker. He cannot be traded until January 15th. The Lakers also have a 2027 or 2028 first round pick to add in a deal. So that would be the name to circle. But as far as the big three staying intact, I think we'll see that when we get past the deadline.
Interesting. Well, that's something we're definitely going to be keeping an eye on and checking in with you routinely as we approach those dates. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us. The Lakers, they're in Dallas tonight to take on the Mavericks. So after the break, we're going to get into how are the Mavs trying to right some wrongs surrounding Luka Doncic.
It's one of those.
Let's take a look at today's crunch time moment brought to you by Ruffles. So Chris Paul, he took over when it mattered most against the Blazers on Tuesday night. CP3 was crispy with his mid-range and ended the game with 24 points and 14 assists. And CP3 led the Suns to their 12th straight win in clutch time as Phoenix remains just a half game behind Golden State for the top seed in the West. So the number 6 and 7 seeds, they go head-to-head tonight in Dallas. And for more on that, we welcome in our Lakers and Mavs reporters, Dave McMenamin and Tim McMahon. So Dave, I want to start with you. The Lakers, they're going to be without Talen Horton Tucker, Dwight Howard, Malik Monk tonight due to health and safety protocols. How are they approaching their lineup?
Well, Malika, the good news is that Anthony Davis, who has missed the last two games with soreness in his left knee, has been upgraded to probable. So you can get him filling in some of the center minutes that Dwight Howard will be vacating. And you're also going to see more time from DeAndre Jordan. And they have some wing players they can give minutes to in the absence of Talen Horton Tucker and Malik Monk. Wayne Ellington's been playing well, especially in this latest stretch when the Lakers have won 5 out of 7 games. So you'll see more time for him. You could see, if Frank wants to go with another defensive-minded player, you could see some minutes for Kent Bazemore, who has been ramping up his activity, trying to get Trevor Ariza going in off days with extra work on the court. But right now there's a sense of exasperation for this Lakers team. They felt like they finally turned a corner, and now they're dealing with the health and safety protocols. One source told me today, wow, this is just more bleep that we have to deal with.
Understandably frustrated, and the hope is, right, that as they continue to test, that they won't see more players entering the COVID protocols. Thank you so much, Dave. So let's shift to the Mavs. Tim, Luka's going to be missing his third straight game tonight with an ankle injury, and this injury, it's lingered all season long. What's the latest on when we might see him back on the court?
It's a game-to-game situation at this point. He first sprained a month ago. You know, he's aggravated a few times since then, and it's a chicken and egg problem. He's out of shape, and, you know, he can't get healthy. So, you know, it's hard to get healthy when you're out of shape. It's hard to get in shape when you're not healthy. And so, again, at this point, it's a game-to-game type of situation. He has acknowledged he needs to get in better shape. He's acknowledged that it's an issue. There's been some progress made, but right now his ankle's too sore for him to play.
Interesting. And Tim, you also have an expansive article on ESPN.com about the messy culture inside the Mavs organization the last few seasons. So what are they doing to change the culture of the franchise?
Yeah, and there was a lot of change this summer. The firing of Donnie Nelson, the resignation of Rick Carlisle with the understanding he would have been on the hot seat. Jason Kidd came in here, learning from his mistakes in his previous two stops as a head coach, and has really prioritized communications with the players. Nico Harrison, the new GM, who had a lot of relationships around the league as a longtime Nike executive, is much better suited to have relationships with the players, to kind of manage things between the players and coaching staff, to fill in some of the gaps that existed with a culture that was dysfunctional at several levels of the organization in recent years. So, better culture, the results so far, not up to par, given what this team had expected going into the season.
Well, we'll see if that good culture can then lead to some goodness on the court. Tim McMahon, thank you so much for joining us. I encourage everyone to go check out his article on ESPN.com. It is fascinating. And you can see the Lakers and the Mavs as the first game of our ESPN doubleheader tonight at 7:30 Eastern. That's followed by the Clippers and the Jazz. And hey, Miss Janae, I hear you might have a cheat sheet for us on that game.
Let's do it, and I guess I'll bring Richard over here if I need some company. Now, the Utah Jazz, they're on a 7-game win streak, and it's because they have elite leaders on both ends of the floor. So let's start with the offense. Here's the number that you need to know. The Utah Jazz are number one in offensive rating by over 4 points. Now, that gap is the same difference of all the teams from number two in the rankings to 16. That's crazy. And a main reason for this offensive clinic, Donovan Mitchell. Y'all know that, like, Spider-Man just appeared?
Yeah.
Spider Mitchell's been straight box office, y'all. So okay. Let me show y'all how he gets it done. Let's get this. Producer Kwaku, baby. He's made a great leap in reading the defense in this instance. Hands down.
Yeah, and his jump shot has improved, too, on every single year he's been in this league.
Again, reading the defense, rejects the pick and roll, sees the defender, his back is to him, so he attacks. And this is where he goes crazy with his athleticism finishing at the rim. And this is where the biggest leap has happened, Richard. All right, you think it's the same play, he draws four. Instead, his growth is that now he knows he needs to get the ball out. Beautiful reverse pivot to get the pass to the 46% three-point shooter, Mike Conley, the best on the Jazz, who already paced the NBA in amount of threes consistently. So Donovan Mitchell has really improved his game by reading the defense individually, but also collectively.
This guy.
You have a problem?
This guy. Rudy Gobert.
Can we go to defense?
Let's go to defense. Let's talk about defense. You know there's two sides of the ball.
Thank you. So let's head to defense. Rudy, is it Gobert? Gobert. Has it not been to the competition? Three-time defensive player of the year, and check out these numbers right here. 43% players are shooting at the rim when Rudy Gobert is defending them, which is by far the best in that category in the entire league. So let's take a look at how he gets it done. Now, this defensive play is nuts, y'all. He is so talented at reading when to protect the paint. Being a helicopter in the paint allows his guards to play really aggressive outside of three. And so, all right, you beat one line of defense. He's always there to make the right read, deflect the ball, stay present on the possession, tips it out, hustles for it, stays in the play. It keeps going, Richard.
Do it all!
Now, this is the only part
for
Rudy. Rudy, don't save the ball like that. Rudy, I love you.
Don't save the ball on that end of the floor, Rudy.
Now, again, you know, he's great at defense, especially when it comes to the lane. Because he's engaged right here, he can stay in the lane longer. Joe Ingles lost, but guess what? Rejected the shot.
He closes the gap faster than any player in this league. And again, you talk about percentages, it's not even close.
And I've always said this team is very good because they have offensive captain in Donovan Mitchell and defensive captain in Rudy Gobert. I really think it's going to be fascinating to see if they take the next step when it comes to the playoffs. But I feel like we should break it down.
Let's break it down.
Because we talk about defense, and the key to defense is knowing when you can be available. Now, y'all be worried because we got a big man in the paint.
Come on, Pert.
But you're going to play perimeter defense. All right, y'all, I'm Rudy Gobert.
You ain't never played
no
defense.
You know what used to happen to me.
Oh, wait, okay. I need producer Nick.
Yeah. Come on, Nick.
Producer Nick. Y'all, he has a great. Okay.
Okay, no. Sorry.
Settle.
Sorry.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm Rudy Gobert, and this is helpside defense. Because he engages his post player on defense, that means he can stay in the lane longer. Mm. You guys will always see him, if he's helpside, he's dancing in and out. Just that subtle difference of making sure he's tagging someone allows him, so when the defense comes.
Cuts back door. Let's see what he's going to do.
He's still there.
Oh, beat it up.
Get that mess out of here. Put some respect on Rudy Gobert, but it's really impressive what they've been able to do overall. Oh, he's running away, y'all.
Oh, he's running away. He got breaks. So, all I know is that when, like Janae said, when you got an offensive captain and a defensive captain, both of them are all-stars and all-NBA players on both ends of the floor, the Utah Jazz could be a
problem.
Richard,
are you going to shoot today?
Am I going to shoot? Not in a suit. I'll post you up. Hey, more NBA today. Next. Watch this.
Hit him. Go to commercial.
Oh, foul. Ref. Flagrant. Review.
No review.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Live from Los Angeles, welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Every hour, it seems we're receiving updates about another NBA player or coach or executive testing positive for COVID-19. And this morning, Adrian Wojnarowski reported that interim Kings coach Alvin Gentry tested positive and will not coach the Kings game against the Wizards tonight. The Lakers, remember, they announced last night that Dwight Howard, Malik Monk, they're also out, joining Talen Horton-Tucker. And the Nets played last night without six players, including James Harden and Bruce Brown, who was literally pulled off of the court an hour before tip-off. And right now, the rapidly changing number of NBA players currently in COVID protocols sits at 27. So 27 players are currently in the NBA's health and safety protocols. That includes a pair of former MVPs, Giannis Antetokounmpo and James Harden, and around 40 players have been in protocols over the last 2 weeks. So as we unpack this number and how the league is handling these multiple outbreaks on multiple teams, let's bring in our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, we're entering this crucial time where if a player tests positive, they're basically out on Christmas Day. So is the league considering any additional precautionary measures here?
Malik, I mean, they're talking with the Players Association continually on this issue, but I'm told there's nothing imminent. In terms of dramatic change to what the league's protocols are now, and I think you may see some directives ahead of the Christmas holiday. You saw that ahead of Thanksgiving for players and staff. But right now, I think the league believes and teams that just the increase in testing among players is creating an increase certainly in positive tests and losses of players, because there were multiple teams, most of the league was not really testing any of their players because they're vaccinated. But once the positive tests have started or close contacts to those with positive tests, well, that triggers testing all over the league. And now you're seeing, again, more positive tests, teams with multiple players like Brooklyn, Chicago. You know, the Kings today, you know, they all went in to test after Alvin Gentry's positive test, and they're bracing for the possibility, you know, that there could be others besides Gentry who's now going to be out as the Kings coach until he can get out of protocol.
Well, that's certainly something that we're going to continue to monitor. But also earlier today, Woj, you reported that the Utah Jazz are hiring Danny Ainge to oversee basketball operations, naming him the alternate governor and CEO of Jazz Basketball. So what's the significance of Ainge's hire for the Jazz?
Well, Ryan Smith, the new Utah owner, this has been a target of his for some time. And once Danny Ainge became available, left Boston at the end of last season, I think Ryan Smith targeted him. And, you know, Dennis Lindsay stepped down, became a consultant in Utah, you know, who built that very good contender, very good roster with the Jazz. And I think once Danny Ainge took some time, as he told our Tim McMahon, decompressed after leaving Boston, he was ready to do this again. And obviously, his stature in that Utah community, obviously a legendary player at BYU, he's got a lot of family still in Utah. But listen, he'll work with Justin Zanuck, who's the Jazz general manager. He'll continue. And Quinn Snyder, their coach, who certainly one of the league's top coaches and someone who, you know, I think will continue to have significant input into roster and direction of that organization. Listen, Danny Ainge, I think he's talked about this, and I think this is what you'll see in Utah. I think having capable people around him, like Zanuck, like Quinn Snyder, and having a roster that is certainly an elite one in the league, and maybe there's some tweaks to be made, you know, as they try to make that next step to get out of the West. And I think there's an infrastructure in place that gave Ainge a lot of comfort. And again, Ryan Smith, this is somebody he goes back a long way with, he really looked up to. And when he bought that Jazz team, I think it was always on his mind to be able to lure Danny Ainge there. And now he's done that.
Ryan Smith, Danny Ainge, Justin Zanuck, Quinn Snyder. That is quite a quadruple pair, what is that called? Quintuple, quadruple? Thank you so much, Woj. I appreciate you joining us. So earlier this year, ESPN, they launched a program with My Brother's Keeper's Alliance and the NBA to support young men of color with mentorship opportunities. And as a part of that, The Undefeated is hosting a series of conversations with young people and NBA players. Senior writer for The Undefeated, Mark Spears, hosted the most recent virtual event. It was a conversation with Clippers Terrence Mann and Marcus Morris. So take a listen.
What would you say to a kid that wants to be them, and because they're black and because they might have tattoos and because of the way they do their hair, society treats them a certain negative way?
Just be you, man. You know, be you and educate yourself on you know African American history.
I'm big on the being educated part. You know, if you're going into a job interview where, you know, say you do got tattoos, long hair, and you don't know how they're going to think of you, well, at least go in there, you know, educated.
So to learn more about this important project, go to IAMMBK.org. And before we go to break, we want to raise awareness to something thousands have been affected by: Southern and the Midwest tornadoes. So if you would like to help, please visit redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and to help people recover from this disaster.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is Perk giggling about? Is there you got a sandwich or something in your pocket? Why are you giggling?
No. Hey, did you sneak in to say, what are you giggling about? You got a sandwich in your pocket.
And you just now processed that?
Hey, bro.
My goodness.
Well, it's fine, because health is wealth, all right? And looking at these people, they're not healthy, these skinny people. So I bought y'all some sandwiches.
You bought a sandwich?
Oh, what's this here? Health is wealth.
Get some meat.
And look, get some meat on your bones.
I want to give Perk some credit, right? We were talking. He's been working. He said he cut his calorie intake from 25,000 a day to 4,000. So I know he looked like an offensive lineman, but like, he used to play ball.
Which kind did you get? Oh, we matched. See, I traded Chanae. I didn't want the peanut butter.
Listen, man, this is how I stay skinny. I don't like bread.
I don't like peanut butter.
I only make it.
No. Stop doing that. NFL Live is next. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's my guy.
None of y'all.
Mine's open.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.